I'm an amateur nature photographer, and the rivers of West Virginia are a dream location for good photos. What fascinates me most there is being able to clearly see and witness wildlife in their natural habitat. So, I planned a river trip during the long Memorial Day weekend last year to get my fill of West Virginia. I headed to the Canaan Valley and eventually launched off from a small clearing in the valley that promised me the best vantage point for the longest stretch on the river. And it goes without saying that I was sure to have my camera and binoculars close at hand. It was a clear morning, with the river reflecting the sky. Navigating the river's soft bends and floating on smooth water most of the time, the hours passed peacefully. I spotted a variety of birds, including kingfishers, herons, and astonishingly, a bald eagle. Each camera click brought me more joy than was normal. I was deeply engrossed in observing everything, and little did I know, the normality of the day was about to change drastically. As I continued to drift down the river, I noticed a sudden lack of birds in the sky. Not only was their physical presence gone, but the once vocal birds had gone mysteriously silent. That was my first indication that something was off. And not just off, but strange even. It was an eerie quiet, a stark contrast to the previous hours. Before long, I found myself floating through a thicker part of the forest. The sudden shade from the thick, overhanging branches offered a respite from the sun. It was there that I first felt watched, scrutinized from the shadows. I was convinced that there was an undefined presence lurking just beyond my vision. Despite the sense of foreboding, adventure has taught me a lot about the unknown, that it can be both daunting and delightful. And discovering nature's mysteries, even the frightening ones, is part of the thrill for me. So, I pushed past my fears and continued forward, eager to see what lay ahead. It wasn't long before my unease grew into a chilling sensation, and a looming presence lingered around me. Fear was creeping in. I rounded a bend in the river, where the forest drew close, giving the river a confined, tunnel-like feel. The stillness was still incredibly unnerving. As I reached for my camera to try and bring a sense of normalcy, I couldn't help but look behind me. Turning, I saw something on the riverbank that I struggled to make sense of. It stood there in the shadows, roughly the size of a man, but alarmingly different. The creature was winged and covered in a strange layer that I can only liken to feathers. Only they weren't exactly feathers, but more so, like the wings of a bat, smooth and black with an almost slick sheen. The creature's fiery red eyes contrasted its shadowy silhouette. The rest of its features remained elusive, almost as though they were shrouded by an unseen force. All I could hear was a thudding that was echoing in my ears. I fumbled for my camera, but something deep within me snapped. Those eyes were not inviting. They oozed an air of hostility that I wasn't about to challenge. In a flurry of panic, I paddled as if my life depended on it, the water around me flailing in all directions as I attempted to move away. All the while, I felt those eyes on me, an intense gaze that I swear could have burned a hole through concrete. As I rounded another bend in the river, the creature was now out of sight, but its presence lingered like a nightmare. I paddled furiously, needing to put distance between me and that creature. Back at my camp, I found no solace at all in the familiarity of my things or the warm fire. The creature, with its dark wings and tormenting eyes, haunted my thoughts. Honestly, the encounter deeply affected me. How could it not? Every shadow moving in my peripheral vision took on an ominous undertone. I woke up still filled with an eerie dread. I paddled out of there as soon as the dawn was bright enough to guide my way. My camera and binoculars, which once brought joy, now felt like heavy reminders of my encounter, since they were what had brought me here. I traveled for miles, praying not to see that figure standing on the banks again. I do wonder now if I remember everything the way it actually happened, and if it was real, was it the creature from local lore that I had heard of when researching the area? You know the one I mean, the Mothman. Will I ever know exactly what it was? I doubt it. Though one thing's clear, my river adventures, they'll never be the same. With this, I end my tale, still grappling with the reality of the encounter. It might sound like fiction, But this chilling experience was all too real. I promise you that. I'm a long-haul trucker, been at it for over 15 years. I've traveled all over the U.S., but this story is from when I started driving to Alaska. It was November or thereabouts, during the onset of winter. Nome, Alaska, the farthest point on my route, is a small town where everyone knows each other due to the isolation. Because of the isolation, long haulers were a novelty, so I got a decent welcome when I visited. I had hit the road pretty early from Anchorage that day. It was past midnight when I reached Nome after a long drive through snow and freezing temperatures. I was exhausted, and my truck needed refueling. I always preferred driving at night. Fewer cars on the road and some quiet time to think. The downside was that most places shut down after a certain hour. So, spotting Goldie's Diner brightly lit along the main road was a welcome sight. A cold breeze hit me as I stepped out, the distinct smell of diesel in the frosty air. The place was nowhere special, an old prefab structure, more a relic than a functional diner. Round chrome-edged counter, plastic-topped tables, and chairs bolted to the floor. It looked untouched since the 50s. The menu was simple, really strong coffee, burgers, fries, and pie. The owner, Goldie, was an elderly Inuit woman. Her earrings jangled when she talked, and she had a very blunt view about truckers. "We feed them, fuel them, and send them off," she used to say. As she refilled my cup, she pointed to a sign on the wall that mentioned a possible motel around back. I decided to try my luck. I was too tired to sleep in my cab, and the prospect of a hot shower was too great a temptation. After a Herculean burger and a half-hearted promise of a room later, I stepped outside for a smoke. The sudden drop in temperature was so intense, it took my breath away. The moonlight reflected off the snow, and I remember it feeling spooky. Everything was so quiet, so still. The night shift hadn't kicked in yet. There was nothing but the low growl of the diesel generator, the crunch of my boots on the snow, and the breeze. As I flicked the butt of my smoke into a snowbank and killed the lights of my truck, something else filled the air. The air turned damp and carried an unpleasant odor. I recognized it instantly. The smell of roadkill, rotting flesh that somehow managed to make its way to my nose despite the freezing temperatures. The truck's parking lights cast long shadows among the trees. I stood there, looking out at the landscape, all the while wondering if Alaska held secrets that no one knew. I've seen some crazy animals in my time, from mountain lions in Nevada to bears, but nothing, absolutely nothing, had prepared me for what happened to me next. Everything went quiet. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw diner patrons freeze, their eyes wide with terror. Yet, they said nothing, not a word. All I heard was an eerie scratching noise, like huge elk moving through the woods, but it was accompanied by a grotesque, rhythmic chewing sound that made the hair on the back of my neck stand. The stench intensified, causing me to gag. It was rotten, like spoiled meat left out in the sun. It was hard to tell where it was coming from. It seemed to be everywhere, creeping up and crawling all over me. I squinted into the darkness, unable to ignore the strong smell. Then, illuminated by the diner's neon glow, I saw the creature, a grotesque fusion of man and deer. It had the legs of an elk, but the torso and arms of a man. It was impossibly tall, dwarfing me at over 8 feet. And its face. Oh God, its face was a horrendous deer skull. Empty sockets glowed with an unnatural yellow light, and it sported antlers that towered over its skeletal dome. A crazy crown on this monstrosity. It let out a chilling screech that I'll never forget. Fear gripped me. I turned on my heel and sprinted towards the diner entrance, hoping to God or whoever was listening that the thing wouldn't catch up. The bolt on the door snapped shut, and I stood panting, back to the door, heart pounding in my chest. On the other side of the door, I could hear a deep growl echoed through the glass, and the most hellish screams filled the air. It was a sound of anger, of frustration. It was a sound I've never heard before. The locals didn't speak, but the fear in their eyes said everything. They had heard it through the glass when I was outside with it. I couldn't believe what had just happened. I headed for the hotel and paid for a night there, since I did not want to be in my rig, with only a windshield for protection. Lying in bed, I listened to the wind, the scratching of the trees against other trees, and the occasional distant thump. Every noise was threatening. Every sound made me think it was a potential attack. That was my first, and God, I hope, my last encounter with what I think was a Wendigo. I knew because I heard the locals whispering that word. I left at dawn, leaving Nome behind as quickly as possible. Now I avoid driving at night. Its silence and darkness weigh heavily on me, because I know what secrets are out there, what monsters hide in the dark. And trust me, when they come out, you can't escape the terror they throw at you. This happened to me while I was out hiking in Acadia National Park in Maine. This was a few years back, around mid-June. The weather can be unpredictable this time of year. Cold mornings turn to warm afternoons, only to get cold again by night. Still, I wouldn't miss it. It's the best time to see sunrises when they're dramatic and colorful. Maine was always my inspiration. So, I set out before the crack of dawn one day, packing my camera and hiking gear. I aimed for Cadillac Mountain, the first place in the entire U.S. to see the sunrise, hoping to get great sunrise shots. A park ranger directed me up the Northridge Trail, saying it'd be less crowded than some other spots. He was a sturdy man with a Santa-like beard and wise, aged eyes. So, I hopped onto the trail he pointed me towards and started my climb. The start of the hike was almost surreal. The darkness began to lift as the forest came to life. The air was crisp with the scent of earth, pine, and sea. I heard the rustle of leaves, occasional birds, and waking forest animals. I found an ideal spot just as dawn was starting, with rugged cliffs covered in morning fog. I unpacked my camera, set up my tripod, and began taking in the sights through the viewfinder. Just as the first rays of warm sun started, something odd happened. The birds stopped singing. The incessant hum of insects was abruptly cut off, and even the rustling leaves fell silent. Though my senses have dulled with age, I detected an unusual odor, earthy and musky, but there was this underlying scent that I can't quite put my finger on. It was strange, like the scent of decay or rot. I shrugged it off as some animal done its wild animal business nearby. But then I heard it. It was distinctly human, yet also not, and despite the outside temperature slowly warming up, a chill enveloped my body. Sure, spooky tales are easy to put in your brain, but something honestly didn't feel right. I'm not one to get scared easily, but this unnerved me. I felt like prey, realizing I was not alone. Next, I saw something reflect off the face of my camera's viewfinder. I turned around, and who do I see but the very same burly park ranger from earlier? But something wasn't right. He wasn't the cheery-faced, helpful fellow I'd met earlier. His face was now sunken, gaunt, almost as if years had passed. His eyes flickered. He was still in his ranger getup, green and gray. But the clothes hung on him, seeming out of place on his suddenly emaciated figure. The eyes, though, those gave me the shivers. They were human-like, yes, but lacked any emotion at all. Like they were dead. He just stood there staring at me. I tried to meet his gaze. I tried to ask what was wrong, but the question caught in my throat, coming out as a dry wheeze. That's when it happened. The wind howled, whipping around me like a frenzied beast, and he released a chilling, guttural laugh that echoed through the silence. The laugh seemed to come from everywhere. It was a high, cold, mocking laugh, not like the man I'd met earlier. Then he, or it, or whatever the hell it was, began whispering, and it sounded like me. The words turned into a mumbled drone, allowing me a moment to gather my racing thoughts. I figured I had one option at this point to get out alive, and so I ran, slipping and falling, yet scrambling up, my fight or flight response revving into overdrive. Despite my love for those woods, I've never felt such relief as when I saw the car park. I jumped into my truck, slammed the gas, and didn't let up till I saw civilization. Meanwhile, those rangers' haunting eyes imprinted in my memory. And the photographs I clicked that day, I erased them. Meanwhile, all they were images of the forest and the sunrise. But I didn't want any reminders of that godforsaken morning. Because here's the thing, I couldn't chase off this one unnerving stray thought. Does Mother Nature really house these twisted and evil beings? I was never religious. But since that day, I say a quiet prayer before entering any forest. Hunters and campers speak of strange encounters with creatures they call skinwalkers. And since that day, I believe every word they say. If you ever decide to enter a park, please just keep your wits about you. This story took place back in the summer of 2018, when I was living in North Carolina. The day was perfect. Clear skies, the sun was shining, and there was a slight breeze. I decided to drive to the Alligator River National Wildlife Refuge, a beautiful, peaceful place despite being an alligator refuge. I thought it would be a perfect drive. Many people are wary about visiting such places alone, but at that time, I was actually looking for time alone to reset myself. Anyway, this seemed like a pleasant escape from my daily life. Well, at least it started out like that. With a name like Alligator River, you'd have certain expectations. Trust me, the place is not all swamp and marshland. It's a vast woodland with scattered water bodies. There's a strange harmony in the landscape that adds to its enticing appeal. As I drove more into the heart of the refuge, away from the sounds of civilization, tranquility set in. The sounds of nature was all like a symphony of the wild. Anyway, about an hour into my drive, my truck jolted. It was subtle, but I felt it. I pulled over to the side of the road. To my dismay, my front right tire had gone flat. Like, completely flat. Just when I thought things were going smoothly, a part of me was frustrated. Part of me tried to shrug it off as another adventure. So, there I was in the middle of my day, fixing a flat tire on a sunny afternoon. The spare and jack were in the back, under all my camping gear, the tent, sleeping bag, and a bucket of random little tackle equipment. The gear was heavier than it looked. As frustration set in more and more, I tried to keep things light, chuckling at thoughts like how this could be my ultimate survival test if I was ever on that TV show, Survivor. Finally, after a long while of getting organized, I was finally ready to fix the tire. The silence around me was obvious. In hindsight, it was the calm before the storm. I was bent down, working on the lug nuts when an uneasy feeling set in. It was like I could feel someone approaching me from the back. But looking around, there was nothing out of the ordinary. I tried to convince myself that the silence was playing tricks on my mind. I mean, who wouldn't in such a situation? But eventually, the silence really started to get to me. I could almost hear my heart beating, scratch that, thumping in the quiet. Crouched down there, I started feeling even more vulnerable. The tranquility I had been enjoying so much was starting to turn ominous. Let's just say I didn't feel alone down there anymore. Suddenly, there was a scuffling noise in the bushes. My heart raced. I looked around, scanning the area, but there was nothing. My grip on the tire iron tightened involuntarily. I've encountered many wild creatures before, but nothing prepared me for what came next. As I turned back to work on the tire, a sudden clicking noise echoed near me, a sound I couldn't place. It was unnatural, almost like scuttling and clicking something simultaneously. I got on my feet, my gaze darting around in every direction. My heart pounded in my chest as I swept my flashlight into the trees where the light didn't quite reach. The beam fell on a patch of ground about 30 feet from my truck. A flash of white went scattering. I squinted to see, and that's when it caught my eye. A pale figure, about 7 feet long, skittering and glitching like something out of a horror movie, moving away with a speed and grace no normal human could achieve. I only caught a glance before it disappeared into the thick underbrush, but its grotesque form was seared into my memory. Nearly human, it was extremely gaunt and covered in a colorless, tightly pulled skin with an unnatural stance. The face, if I can call it that, was just a pit of darkness with glistening black eyes and an open gaping mouth. All thoughts of fixing the flat tire were gone. I grabbed the necessities, abandoning the rest, and jumped into my Bronco. Starting the engine felt like an eternity, the creature's clicking echoing in the silence. My shaking hands finally turned the ignition, and the engine's roar was a welcome sound. I floored it, gravel flying as the working tires caught traction. I just knew I had to get out of there even though it might run my car driving so fast on a flat. As I left, a weird sensation lingered around me, but I didn't dare to look back to see if it was following me. The rest of my drive was a blur of panic and fear, every shadow screaming danger. We all think we're brave until we're tested. I can tell you that for sure. As the engine roared along the trail, every mile put between that ungodly creature and me felt like a little victory, especially driving a car that wasn't 100%. Driven by a mix of shock and curiosity, I felt the need to share my experience, hoping someone might recognize the creature I'd encountered and be able to tell me what it was. So, I stopped at the nearest lunch spot and sat down at the counter. I told the waitress about the gaunt, white, crawler-like creature. She looked nervous and just said I was lucky to have gotten away, almost brushing me off, but I felt she knew more than she was saying. I'm still not sure what I encountered that day. What I am sure of, though, is that there are some places man just shouldn't go, and some mysteries are better left unexplored. As for me, I will never return to the Alligator River National Wildlife Refuge. I still can't explain what happened that day at Mount Rainier National Park. This was last summer, mid-July, up at Mount Rainier in Washington State. I've always loved escaping to the mountains. I woke up early that day, around 5 a.m., and drove up to the park. I parked my car and started off along the Skyline Trail. That morning, there seemed to be fewer hikers around, and I was excited to have the trails largely to myself. The air was crisp, the sky clear blue, showcasing Rainier's majesty. The cool mountain breeze whistled gently around me. For 2 hours, I hiked alone, immersed in my hike. At a higher elevation, the silence was broken by a strange scraping noise. It was harsh and grating, a mechanical sound that was totally out of place in nature. I stopped, trying to locate where the sound was coming from. And then, out of nowhere, goosebumps spread across my skin and my heart raced. I never felt such unease in the vast open wilderness before. Something was off. I slowly turned around, my boots crunching against the loose bits of earth and rocks beneath me. That's when I saw it, a figure standing in the shadows of the tree line, about 100 yards behind me. After a while, squinting my eyes at it, it just sort of vanished into the landscape. I couldn't make out more than a silhouette, large and looming, bizarrely mismatched against the forest. Fear gripped me then, an animal-like instinct overriding my rational thoughts. It didn't make any sense. Animals, even the large ones, didn't merely stand and watch. They either approached or fled. As much as I tried to shake off the strange encounter and carry on with the hike, I found myself constantly looking over my shoulder. Although my imagination can be wild, this felt real. The figure felt intelligent and cunning. I scanned the surrounding areas but found nothing out of ordinary. Just the occasional rustling of leaves and the odd bird fluttering out from the canopy. The weather seemed to shift in response to my unease. Clouds rolled in, casting an ominous shadow over the trail ahead. I decided to call it a day right there. The enjoyment of my hike was now overshadowed by a growing unease. I turned back, heading towards where I had left my car, picking up my pace a little, trying not to let the fear get the best of me. But that didn't shake off the feeling. I felt like something was out there watching. Occasionally, a rustling or distant scrape would break the stillness. I quickened my pace, trying not to run out of fear of triggering a predatory response. I kept telling myself it's just an animal, maybe a bear or a stray elk. But deep down, I felt this was different from my usual hikes. Though I couldn't pinpoint what it was, one thing was clear. I felt pursued by something unnatural. Eventually, I made it back to the meadow where I'd spotted the first oddities. boulders dotted the area. One such large rock, normally a favorite for the local sun-loving animals, caught my attention. On it, surprisingly, was a human figure with their back turned towards me, seeming to bask in the sun. This figure was blending somehow both oddly and perfectly within the setting of the wilderness. Gathering my courage, I walked closer to it. What I assumed to be a hiker or a camper sitting on the rock was neither. As I came closer, it slowly turned to face me. Its face was unlike anything I'd ever seen. It was a half-man, half-reptile thing. It then stood on two legs but had these gigantic black claws extending from what would have been human-like hands. Its eyes were glowing yellow, holding an intelligence that made me instantly realize I was not the top dog here. Its head resembled that of a dinosaur or lizard, with large, sharp teeth. The reptilian watched me, its yellow eyes fixed unblinkingly on me. I felt like prey. Somehow, I regained control of my legs, took a step back in fear, and instantly the creature moved closer. Now standing at its full height, I could see that it was at least twice my height. As my mind screamed at me, the creature just turned around, literally jumped off the rock and disappeared into the deep forest. For minutes I stood there, my brain numb with shock, my hands shaking and heart pounding. The fear I still harbor from that day returns every time I think of the woods. When I got home, I struggled to accept what I'd seen. I wanted to dismiss it completely, but it was impossible. I knew it was real. I was convinced that what I had seen was not of this world. It's been months, and not a day goes by when I don't think about what happened on the Skyline Trail. Basically, in a nutshell, I believe I encountered a mythical reptilian humanoid. Life, for me, has forever changed.